सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्मा तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते। संप्राप्ते सन्निहिते काले नहि नहि रक्षति दुःखकरणे। भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते। भज गोविन्दं is explaining the path of self-realization. If we want to get to this path of self-realization, all we have to do is one thing. Bhava samachitta. We see differences, and based on the differences, our samsara continues. The whole world being different forms, different names. All of this is because we have in our vision an understanding of differences. When I remove the differences, then it is none other than me, the self, everywhere. So this is the idea of bhava samachitta. Then there is no difference between you and me. That's what the disciple is saying. Tvai mai chanyat anyatra ekah Vishnu. So in you, in me, in everywhere, there is only one Vishnu. And what you must do is bhava samachitta sarvatrattvam vanchasi achirad Vishnuttvam. And if you want this Vishnutva, if you want this self to be yourself, you be equanimous in all. And that becomes a practice. A thought which comes and agitates us. As a practice, I tell myself that I will not let this thought agitate me. Why I will not let it agitate me? Because it is temporary. And for temporary, why should I get all worked up over it? That is one. Another is that as the thought agitates me, I find the reason why it is agitating me. And the whole reason is is that ego. Something related to this ego was hurt, and then it started all over. But ego is not real, because who is more real? The self is more real. Again, then, this practice, when we continue, then it becomes our nature to see samatha. But if we imagine that I just have to cultivate this vision overnight, then it will not happen. Tomorrow, if I get up and I say I have studied last night what is samatha, what is equanimity, it will not change next morning. I will still wake up knowing that I am this jiva. But over so many practices, and we come and make this as our understanding, then that becomes our livelihood. So then I wake up, I will say to myself, I am this Brahman only. But I didn't wake up. I was already awake. I was Prabuddha only. Waking up was just for the body and the mind. Anyway, that was one way to attain. Then same thought presented in the next one is, Shatro mitre putre bandhav, makuru yatnam vigraha sandhav. If it is enemy, if it is friend, if it is a putra, or if it is a relative, do not put effort in making friendship or enmity. Let all the relations be natural. And in that natural way, learn to be detached from all relations. Because Shatru Mitra is a relation based on likes and dislikes. If I have a like for something, then they become my friend. If I have a dislike, they become my enemy. But putting all of that aside and then seeing such a person. Sarvasmin api pashyatmanam. In all, see the self. Again, this idea of equanimity. Seeing whose self? Seeing not their self. Seeing your self as them. Seeing you, the Satchidananda Swarupa, as everything. If I say, oh, in them also is Satchidananda, in me also is Satchidananda, but that is fine. There's different. No, it is me alone is there in them. Then the differences go away. If I bite my own tongue or lip, next day I don't go to a doctor and say, remove all my teeth because it's biting my tongue. You don't do that because I know it is only me. I have not hurt myself. I don't punish myself. I'm not going to eat for next 10 days because I bit myself. No, next moment we start chewing again because we know I didn't do anything to myself. I cannot do anything to myself. I didn't hurt myself. Sarvasmin pashyatmanam. Now, with the next shloka, what the disciples say is, if you don't do it this way, because the ultimate vision is the vision of the self-realization. If you don't get the vision of self-realization, then do you know what is going to happen? You'll be bound to this world forever. And you'll be cooked in naraka forever. So, a way to show that if you do it, this is your result. If you don't do it, this is the opposite result. Let's see that. Kamam krodham lobham moham. Krodham lobham moham. Tyaktvatmanam pashyati soham. Atmajnana vihina mudhah. Te pachyante naraka nigudhaha. kamam krodham lobham moham tyaktvatmanam pasyati soham atmajnana vihina mudha te pachyante naraka nigudham bhaja govindam govindam bhaja mudhamate. Kamam, desire. Tyaktva, having renounced. So we have to renounce all of our desires, because the only cause for our samsara is the desire. Whatever we do is because of our desires. The samsara continues with this intact. So what does that mean? The likes, the dislikes, the happiness, the sorrow is in satisfaction of this desire only. The differences that we saw of you and I is because of these desires only. The differences we saw of friends and enemy is because of this desire only. The reason why I have a friend is because my desires are same. My desires say that this person gives me the same happiness as I was looking for. So therefore he's my friend. But then one day the person says something differently. I thought you were my friend. I didn't expect this from you. Friendship over. Don't talk to me tomorrow. So because the desires are not met, it ends. So the root cause for all our problem is our desire. The Bhagavad Gita downward fall, right? Yes. Dhyayato vishayan pumsa sangaste shopajayate. So dhyana of that vishaya is fascinating over that desire, that may it become fulfilled and then may I be happy. And sangat sanjayate kama, desire is born out of it. Kama. Now if kama is fulfilled, is not fulfilled, that desire which I thought I had to have, which I had to be fulfilled, if it does not get fulfilled, krodha arises. Right? So anger comes about because my expectations were not met. All these efforts I have put into making it fulfilled, that's why I feel it's waste. Because that effort didn't give me the result I wanted. So obviously we will feel angry. So when a desire is not fulfilled, leads to anger, krodha. But if the desire is fulfilled, then what happens? Greed, lobha. Oh, this is so awesome. Now, if I can achieve it this much, if I were to put in twice as much effort, I will get four times as much result, not two times. Because I have to accumulate for the other two, the... So I'll get four times the result. And then I'll continue doing that work again and again. And each time I will get better and better at my efforts and I'll keep reaping the benefits. So this is what lobha is. Having met the desires, you want to go fulfill more. And it is not just that only. Sometimes it leads to other desires which says that if I explore into this territory, I may be also good at that. If I can show my goodness here, I can get some other things there. So kama, krodha, lobha, moha. There arises the delusion. I am the one doing all of this. I am in control of the result. If I put in this much effort, I will get it. This is the delusion that we have come across. First, the desires that we even have are not even our true identity. Because if desires truly were our identity, then in deep sleep, you would be able to tell apart. This is a criminal and this is a saint. You put a saint and a criminal together when they are sleeping. Both seem very peaceful. And then you were to imagine this person committing a crime. I cannot believe it. As soon as he wakes up and shows the nature, then you realize, oh, okay. So, desires are not our true identity. It is something that we have taken up as our identity and we are living it. Maybe it is forced upon us by the world, and the world says that I have to push myself to be this. Maybe it is myself way of thinking. But I go about doing it, and that is moha. And these four, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, are only indicative of mada and matsarya. These six, they are called shat ripuhu, six enemies. Ripuhu means enemies. So these enemies are always with us and they always keep us in the samsara. So, and all of them start with kama, with desire. Therefore, tyaktva, renounce all your desires. So having heard this, a seeker who was practicing this sadhana says, told me to renounce all my desires. Tomorrow onwards, I will not study any shastra. Because desire to study shastra is also a desire. Desire for worshipping Bhagavan is also a desire. I am going to renounce all my desire from tomorrow onwards. That is not the meaning. Desire, here we are talking about is rajasic and tamasic desire. The sattvic desire, desire for liberation, because that is also an intense form of desire, burning desire to be freed from the samsara. Desire for worshipping Bhagavan or devotion for Bhagavan. That is also a desire. But that is not to be given up, because that desire keeps us in tuned with the reality. One really nice idea that I came across. If you want to become a doctor, right, you have to go through a lot of laborious work to become a doctor. But if you're not a doctor and you marry to somebody who is a doctor, wouldn't you know some of the basic things that a doctor do? How to check a pulse? How to check a blood pressure? That also not with the automatic ones. The ones that they used to pump. All this happens just by a person marrying a doctor. Or a person who marries a lawyer easily knows how to argue. How to put in an opposing point of view. Didn't have to learn at all. Just became part of their relation. And learned it really well. So therefore, what do we have to do? We have to marry ourselves to Bhagavan. All the qualities that Bhagavan have naturally will come to us. Right? Because our association now has been built. So that association only is going to give us sattvic qualities. Therefore, this sattvic desire, desire for liberation, desire for God, desire for Shastra, desire for studies, desire for Guru, all of these are purest desires to have. And one should not give those up. So therefore, just the rajasic and tamasic desires, we give up. And when we give that up, atmanam pashyati. See oneself. So, think of these kama, krodha, lobha, moha are like layer built upon the self. And when we remove all these layers and we see the self, we come across the self as I am that. Saha aham. This self alone I am. All this time I was thinking I was these desires, I was this anger, I was this greed, but I was none of them. They were just an impression put on me because I was seeing all these differences. I have removed all of them and now I see myself as that alone. Therefore, when next time I get angry, I will not relate myself to be I am angry. I will say that this is a superimposition on me, the self. And therefore, I will discard that anger. Next time I get desirous of something, I will put all this notion on myself that this is only a superimposition on me. I am not desirous. A mind is desirous because of the nature it is. And I don't have to succumb to that desire. I don't have to fall prey to that desire. But when we are able to separate, then we can see the atmanam. So aham, the self alone I am. If you are not able to do that, then what? If you cannot see the self to be your true nature, then what happens? Atma jnana vihinaha. Those who do not have this self-realization or the knowledge of the self. Those who are stuck with their kama, krodha, lobha, moha, those are called mudhaha. Foolish people they are. They think that their desires are so strong, those desires that are so valuable are foolish. Those desires are of no value. And they narakani gudaha pachyante. They are in the hell. Pachyante, cooked. Nigudaha, in the dark places of the hell. They are constantly suffering through the afflictions caused by their desires. That is what is hell. So it is true that they probably may go to hell, that they will be born in a realm which is filled with suffering. But even as a human embodiment, they will be in hell. There is one story about a Zen master. So to this Zen master, a king came and asked, "O master, can you tell me where is heaven and hell?" So the Zen master said, "O king, you are a fool to ask me this question." So the king reached out for his sword and started taking it out. And then as soon as he took it halfway out, he says, "There, you are in hell." And then he realized, okay, I understand what you're saying. And he put it back. So says, now you are in heaven. So hell and heaven is when we are agitated by our mind. Here itself we can be suffering the notions of hell and heaven. And when we are devoid of that, there is no hell, there is no heaven, there is only the self. So if we want to be afflicted at all times with the suffering, we can continue to live in this world as the desirous individual. But if we want to get away from it, just give it all up and have only the thought of self-realization. We ask Bhagwan for self-realization, Bhagwan will give it to us. We ask for anything to Bhagwan, Bhagwan will give it to us. That is how he is. Dhruva asked for the Dhruva Pada. Bhagwan said, okay, tathastu, give it to you. Then he realized, I should have asked for self-realization. Bhagwan would have given me that also. But that came into his mind later. But now we already know, we just have to ask for self-realization. And Bhagwan will give it to us. He will make sure that he will find ways where it becomes part of our life. But we have to really want it. So, te pachyante naraka nigoda. Then, how does one attain this self-realization? A path or a sadhana that we can all perform to attain this self-realization. Before also there was a path given. If you remember, Bhagavad Gita, Kinchid Adhita, Ganga Jalalava, Kanika Pita, Sakrudapiyena Murari Samarja, Kriyate Tasyana Yamena Nacharja. All we had to do was all those paths. Here, again, these ideas of spiritual austerities that we can take upon, which will get us going to that path of pure desires, selfless desires, which is a way for us to be out of this world. So, that is next. Geyam Gita Nama Sahasram. Dheyam Shripati Rupa Majasram. Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam. Deyam Dina Janaya Chavittam. Geyam Gita Nama Sahasram. Dheyam Shripati Rupa Majasram. Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam. Deyam Dina Janaya Chavittam. Bhajagovindam Bhajagovindam. Govindam Bhajamudhamate. Geyam. Geyam. Sing. Sing with open heart. Don't sing because you're singing. Don't sing because you're made to sing. Bhagavad Gita chanting is coming, so please all sign up to chant. Not like that. Sing with your open heart. That is how a Gita has to be sung. So, Geyam Gita. And anytime, this is the beauty of this word Gita. Somebody says, I am going for a Gita Path. It is automatically understood Gita Path means Bhagavad Gita. There are so many Gitas that are there. Vibhishan Gita, Ram Gita, then Yajnavalkya Gita, Hamsa Gita. But none of that Gita comes to mind. When Gita comes, only one thing comes to mind. Bhagavad Gita. So that which has been sung by Bhagavan, that is what we are singing. And that devotion is there, and that bhava is there, it can mold our mind. Mold doesn't mean that our mind is easily just can be controlled by somebody else. It is in our hand now how we use that mind, where we need to be strong, in what situations I now have to apply that mind. That is what we are talking about, molding. So, Geyam Gita. Now this is a little different from Bhagavad Gita, Kinchid Adhita. There it was said, you study the Bhagavad Gita. And when we study, the focus is not on how I chant or what it is. The focus is more on understanding the meaning. Focus is on how this meaning applies to me. And rightfully so, if you can think about it, if I have done adhyayan of Gita, chanting becomes much meaningful. Then that bhava naturally will come that, oh, Bhagavan is talking about this. Let me chant with open heart. But if I don't know, I will be a little resistant. What am I chanting? This is so meaningless. So when we sing, first, if you have done adhyayan, then singing becomes much beautiful. So, Geyam Gita. And why chanting is also important. Because when we chant the name, chanting impacts our thinking. Because how we think is dependent on how our speech also is. If you continuously repeat one thought through your speech, you will see that your mind also changes to that way. You keep telling yourself negatively that I am no good, I am no good, I cannot do, I cannot do. That becomes our mental thinking also, that I am useless. Then nobody, doesn't matter whoever they are, keeps telling us, you can do it, you can do it. Still it will not work. But if it starts simply by, I'm good, I can do it. That's what people give as a self-motivating pep talk. Tell yourself this, you're good and you'll become good. Chanting those positive thoughts has the impact of change in our thinking. Another benefit of chanting is the words that are written in Gita has a specific vibration. Any verb there, any words that are there, any language that we speak has a vibration. And that vibration, even if we don't know the meaning, will still have an impact. It will still make a change in our embodiment. There was an experiment done by some Japanese or some scientist. What they did was, they took a water molecules from different places, and then they were chanting positive thoughts to it, mantras or things like that. And as they were chanting, over a period of time, they saw that the water molecule changed. And those which were kept as just a sample outside, they remained different. They saw the difference of chanting can have on the water molecule itself. Human body is made of lots of water. So if we chant, how much of that impact is going to have on us? chanting also has a lot of benefits. So even if we don't know the meaning, that's okay. It may not have the added benefit of, oh, I know the meaning also and now I'm chanting. But it will still have an impact. When children are taught at a young age, we don't teach them the meaning and then make them chant. They first learn how to chant, and then as they build the capacity to know the meaning, they will appreciate that, wow, my parents actually made me chant this and now I know the meaning. So good. If everything else fails, books will be destroyed. All of these things will be destroyed. But if I can have it retained in my memory, then that chanting will have so much benefit. Whenever and wherever I am, I can recall it from my memory and I can remember and still be peaceful. And don't have to be reliant on the technology or the sources of this world. Therefore, chant. I see in my grandma, she used to chant so many different shlokas and everything when she was young or when she had married. Now she sits by herself and she recalls all of this and keeps chanting on her own. Sometimes a little louder, so then we also benefit of listening. And sometimes I just wonder, wow, I had never heard of this before. And they have like really depth, like really good meanings behind what she's chanting. So this is what it is, that memory is retained. So Geyam Gita, and then also Nama Sahasram, 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu Sahasranama. So you also do the chanting of Lord Vishnu. You all know how it starts, right? And when Yudhishthira asks the question, Kim ekam daivatam loke, kim vapyekam parayanam, stuvantah kam kamarchantah, prapnu yurma, manuham shuvam. Then, kodharmas sarvadharmanam, dharmadhikatomata. Kim japan mucchate jantuhu, janma samsara bandhanat. So, kim japan, chanting what? One will be mukta, bhava samsara. So, how can one become liberated by chanting something? And then Bhishma says, here it is, chant the name of Bhagavan. 1,000 names given of Bhagavan. And you chant, you will see the difference. There is benefit in it. If you ever find yourself in a state of agitation and you feel like you're lost, you don't know what to do, that time just open up a Vishnu Sahasranam and go through that the 1,000 names and then see yourself afterwards. You will see that change has happened in you. One is, it is like a flow of positive thoughts. That flow of positive thoughts have gone through your thinking now that you have completely forgot about the world. So your mind, which was occupied by the worries, have been dropped, and now you have been filled with the positive thoughts. Therefore, you're completely feeling peaceful, which gives you the ability now to reason out why I was so upset to begin with. And then you say to yourself, there was no reason to be upset. It was silly. You should try it and see the benefits of it. And if it works for you, then pass it on to others and they will also benefit from it. So, Geyam Gita Nama Sahasra. This is a sadhana you can do every single day. Even if it means to chant one shloka, two shloka of Bhagavad Gita, but you should chant. Even if it means that before one meal, you have to chant the entire 15 chapters, you go ahead and do that as a practice. But do some form of chanting. And if you can chant Vedic mantras, then also it is good. Vedic mantras also have great, great powers. So, Gheyam Gita Nama Sahasram, Dheyam Shripati Rupam Ajasram. Dheyam, meditate upon the form of Lord Vishnu. Shripati, the Lord of Goddess Lakshmi. So, meditate on this form of Vishnu. So, we are actually keeping Saguna Sakara form of Bhagavan and then worship. Idol worship. That is what this is. Why? Because again, we are giving a shape to our mind. A mind which has been shaped by the objects of the world, to that mind, we are now giving the creator who is the creation of this whole world. Before I had the vision of distinct things. But then I give that the vision of the whole creator and I say that all these creations are nothing but the creator. I made my vision just great or enlarged my vision. This is how our dhyana should be. And then once you do that, and you become equipped, then you are easier to go into the realms of sagun nirvikar. You still are holding on to qualities, but you have dropped the form of Bhagavan. And then you go into directly nirgun nirakar, the Satchidananda Swarupa, Brahman. That is another. Neyam sajjana sange chittam. Lead your thoughts to satsanga. Neyam. Lead it. Take it to there. Your mind would not want to go, but you lead it there. That is the point. Satsanga. And deyam dina janaya chavittam. And give charity to those who are needy. Those who have requirements. Give charity. This we will give a little more thought with our next class, because then we won't have time. This is the sadhana that we must do. If you don't remember any of the Bhajagovindam shloka, you remember this and you practice this. This will be the best. Next week, we will not have a class because Gaurang uncle will be here and he will have a special session for all the adults. So we are not going to have a class. And I think there's a meeting also. I don't know. But next week we won't have a class. Following week also we won't have a class because there is a celebration of Ramanavami. And then the following week, I will not be here. So we will miss out for next 3 weeks. We'll pick back up towards the end of April. So you have 1 month to start the practice. I mean, I'm sure you're already doing the practice. So continue on with that sadhana. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.